I'd love to give, like to give everyone a real warm welcome to our gospel service this evening. Is this mic on? Can you hear me? Okay. We're very pleased to have you out, and we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Two web boys can't really get this many people together at any one time, so to see you here tonight is pretty special. But I know you come to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for you. I'm going to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 3 and then from Revelation chapter 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband. And he did eat. Romans, Revelation chapter 21. Just a few verses from here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. There's many more things we could read here, but in the last verse of that chapter, And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, it's good to see everyone here. I spoke to a couple university graduates a while ago, and they've attended these services, and I says, Now, what suggestion can you give me in preparation of this message? And what they told me was, is keep it simple. So that would suggest perhaps that sometimes our messages aren't simple. But the gospel message should be simple. And we want to make it as simple as possible. For, as a matter of fact, for me, that shouldn't be very difficult. Now, I used to have a good friend that came here from time to time. He says, Jerry, let me know when you're speaking. I want to be there that night. So if he was in good health and alive tonight, I'm sure he'd be here. But he passed away early yesterday morning. Fine gentleman. His mother passed away when he was just a child. And fortunately, his father took the family and got them into a country church. This is many years ago. He was 87. Got him into a country church. It was a Lutheran at the time, and they taught those children the Bible. And he had such great respect for the teachings of the Bible, what the Bible taught. He still enjoyed hearing about the Bible at 86 and 87 years of age. And I thought that was impressive. But the dear gentleman passed away. His funeral was on Wednesday. Another lady I had out here 2 or 3 weeks ago, she, when I went to pick her up tonight, she had a stroke. She's in the hospital. Life is pretty fragile. We never know what's going to happen. So that's why it's good to be prepared. Well, sometimes when I start a business meeting, I'll auction off $100. But I don't think it's necessary to auction off any money tonight. I think I have your attention. But sometimes I'll auction off $100. Who will give me $25, $50, $75, $80, $85, $90, $95? And I have no trouble selling the $100 very quickly. Hands are popping up all over. Then I will say, why was there such interest in this? Because you knew the value and you could see the benefit. And that's what I want you to see tonight is, I want you to see the value of the gospel message and the benefit. The value of the gospel message is that it tells us how to have eternal life, because a lot of things have changed. And the Bible, we have a message there. It's not, I don't bring you a new message, but a new look at an old message. And that message is the story of restoration, which began in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden was a wonderful place. Comfort of everything. Had unlimited food, and there was no weeds, no toil. All they had to do was pick, eat, and enjoy. You might say it was the first fast food convenience. Why was this set up? This was set up because God wanted to establish a fellowship with mankind. And he set it up and made everything so pleasant and easy for them. And then he said, but the one stipulation of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat thereof, and the day that you eat thereof, ye shall die. Well, Satan, Lucifer, the old fallen angel, appeared in the garden as a serpent. And he encouraged Eve to partake of the forbidden fruit. And Eve yielded and partook of the forbidden fruit. And she enticed Adam to do the same. And when this happens, sin entered into the world. So what does that mean to us? Just this. Romans 12 and 5. Wherefore by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death passed upon all men, so all have sinned. It doesn't matter if you're born of the most godly parents in the world. You're born in sin, and you'll live in sin unless you make a switch, which we're going to tell you about right now. The switch to being what God, through Christ Jesus, teaches us. Now let's switch to the New Testament. A story that we know so well. We think about it every December. The virgin birth of the Son of God. They called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Though he was born in a manger, it didn't take him long to get established. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and knowledge and in favor with God and man. He went about doing miracles, speaking in parables. He astonished the most educated of that day with his wisdom. Why, he even went into a conversation with the ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus, if you want to get to heaven, you must be born again. He further explained that being born again is a spiritual experience. It has nothing to do with a physical event. It's when your human spirit comes in touch with the divine spirit and a regeneration takes place. It's like this. What Nicodemus heard was that you had to come to know Christ as your Savior. You had to put your trust in him and be confronted face to face with a situation that unless you're born again, you won't get to heaven. And isn't that what we all have to do? We have to be confronted face to face with being born again, or we won't get to heaven. Now let's describe that a bit. Mankind is alienated from God because of sin. But God, in his mercy, wanted to, didn't want men and women to go to hell. He had mercy on them, and he showed forth his love that if they would put their faith and trust in him, they would have eternal life. It was just that simple. He said, it's available to everyone who believes and trusts in the finished work of Calvary. That's the story. If you put your faith and trust in the finished work of what Christ has done on Calvary. If you want to go to heaven, that's the situation. They did a poll, and I like this little story, and some of you already know it. I like the little story. They did a poll, like Gallup poll or so, and they asked the most wealthy people in America what it would be worth to them to go to heaven. And they come up with a figure of $650,000 they would be willing to pay to go to heaven. So you see, people, going to heaven is a valuable thing. At least it was to these very wealthy people who had many things on their mind and lots of money in their bank account. But they're prepared to pay $750, $650,000. But money won't buy your way to heaven. It says, for grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's something that you receive as a free gift. Now, heaven, what's heaven like? It's an eternal destination. It has many things, everything you would ever need. You have to think of just how beautiful heaven is. I often think people would think, wouldn't it have been nice to be in the Garden of Eden? But heaven is much superior, much better on every aspect. Now think of, I have to think of the best or the most enjoyable trip I ever had was to Rio de Janeiro. Incredible hotels and food and luxury, incredible beaches, mind-boggling sightseeing tours. Well, you go up in a mountain, the top of the mountain, there's a 100-foot statue of Christ the Redeemer. Breathtaking. But like the beauty of a beautiful woman or a handsome man, beauty is only skin deep. Because while we were enjoying the bus tour, a person on the tourist train was shot for his money. But in heaven it's safe. There's no sin there. You are safe in heaven. And that's what, because no sin can enter heaven. It's just that easy. And when you get to heaven, all these things are just right there. I think of a young couple. They were not getting along very well at all, and they had a 12-year-old daughter. The couple decided they're splitting. And they told the daughter, we're going to go our way. Who do you want to go with? She says, I don't want to go with either. I'll go my own way. And that's what she did. Well, after a year or two, the daughter found out where her father was, and she phoned the daughter, father, said, Dad, can I come and live with you? He says, no, you chose to go your own way. You make the best of it. Well, she couldn't believe it. Then her father says, but I will do one thing for you. I will pay for a night's lodging in the hotel where you can go and get washed up and get a good night's rest. Well, she was thankful for that. And she went to the hotel. She got all comfortable. She got in bed, and she found a Bible in the night table. She started to read the Bible. It's got helps in the front of the Bible. She started searching the Bible. And first thing she knew why she had so many difficulties and problems. It was because sin entered the world. And she was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. No wonder she was having problems. But when she read a little further, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if we confess our sins, repent of our sins, Christ will accept us and save us. That night, that young lady got saved in the hotel room. and went on our way rejoicing, living for the Lord. My friend, that's what it is. And she went on her way rejoicing to go to heaven. Yes, heaven's a place that you want to go in for. It's a place, you know, it's, you know, I could read all those things about, but the streets are pure gold, and everything you'd ever want is right there. It talks about the gates of pearl. If you know anything about pearls, pearl is developed because of pain. When a shell gets sand in it, or gets a hole in the shell, quickly some chemical rushes in and heals the hole there, and that wound is healed. Now, really, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered. He went through pain, and his wounds were there, and that's the only way you and I get into heaven, is accepting what he did on the cross of Calvary. He paid the supreme sacrifice for us. Now, I know it takes a lot of time to go in for the things of God. It takes a little bit of work on your part, but the Spirit of God is there to help you. And I have friends who read the Bible, and they found out that with some spirit, the Spirit of God was teaching them what the Scriptures taught them. We have to come to know Christ in a better way and see what he's done for us. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross of Calvary for you and I. I think of an old recluse deep in the mountains of Colorado. He was a gold mine prospector for 53 years. Word got out that he passed away. Relatives rushed up to the hills to see if they could pick up some of his belongings that were left. When they got up into the mountains there, what they found was a tumble-down shack. Right next to it was an outhouse. When they got into the shack, the table was cracked. There was a three-legged table there. There was an old pot on the stove. There were some mining tools laying there. There was a rough, broken cot, plus some threadbare bedding. Well, he said, there's not much here. So they packed up and they got in their car to drive away. Just as they're driving away, a man rides up on a mule. They say, hey, folks, he said, okay, if I go in and check out the old cottage, said, you're leaving? Absolutely, you will. Here, so I'll take whatever you like. Well, he went into that old shack. He went straight for the table. He lifted up two or three boards under the table and started reaching. One bag of gold, two bags of gold. Bags of gold that had been put in there for 53 years. There was enough gold in there to build the greatest palace you ever saw. Then he went to the window and he saw that dust going down the road. He says, too bad. They didn't take their time to know him better. Now, as you're going through life, my friend, your days are coming to an end, possibly. Too bad we didn't get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better. And it all starts with knowing him. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Man believeth unto righteousness, his mouth believeth unto salvation. Yes, my friend, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible clearly states the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Life is fragile. That beautiful woman that sat here in the fourth with the throat 2 weeks ago was taken by ambulance to a hospital with a stroke. The gentleman that sat here, 86, 87 years of age, just a few Sundays ago, he passed out into eternity just yesterday morning. My friend,
Our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Consider thy ways and be wise. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. Thank you.
Nice to be here. Nice to see everyone. Nice to hear the gospel preached. I'm going to take a little while to get used to being up here, because since the last time I was here, a lot of things have happened in my life. I'll tell you. I had bypass surgery, prepared for, here in the heart. And I went through that. That was a year and a half ago or so. But in the past 2 weeks, I was rushed to a hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The whole thing didn't look very well, I'll tell you. I was faint as could be. And those doctors were serious. They were going to search and find out. They weren't going to stop until I found out what was wrong with my head. It affected my head, my speech, my walk, and so on, and we're going to get down to business on that. Well, any rate, come what may, it is well with my soul. And that's the wonderful thing about it. You can get so close to that line where it's death, bang, you're gone. Well, learned a few things. I would turn, please, with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're hearing tonight that life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Be in time, friends. Surprising how many people have the idea that heaven could be gained with money. Or heaven could be gained by good works. Or joining something. You see? And yet it's so far removed from what the Bible says. Just like that girl. She started reading the Bible. And it came to her, well, this is it. There's nothing to be done. It's all done. You see, Christ died. It is all done. So we want you to make no mistake about it. Christ is the Savior of sinners. You can't save yourself. He is the Savior. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Neutral he cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? Luke chapter 12, please, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken of in darkness and heard in the light, and that which is ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that are no more that they can do. But I'll forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now God bless his word and what we've heard already this evening. I'm thinking of the reading tonight, and further on down as well, about warning. Warning. The Lord Jesus Christ here, he says, beware. Take warning. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, I don't think, you probably don't like to be warned about anything. Most of us don't want to be warned. I'll find out for myself. Let me go and do it. Go and do it. Well, I know one time you do like to get a warning, and that is when the police stops you. You're hoping for a warning. Otherwise, you just soon not be told, don't do that, don't get into that. And you're afraid you want to be warned. I know as much as you do about this. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. And then in verse 5, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him after he has destroyed the body, is able to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear him. A little further down the chapter, we have a man wants the Lord Jesus Christ to speak to his brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. He says, who made me a divider and a judge over you? Then he gives another warning. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Covetousness. Beware of covetousness. There's that. At least three warnings now. Three warnings. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven in the Bible always speaks of evil. The Pharisees, they represented a religious group of people, and they wanted to put that on display all the time with their long garments. And they would sit and stand on the street corner and have long prayers that they would say over and over again. But the Lord Jesus Christ said of them, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! That's what he said. Why? He says, you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you're full of excess and extortion. See? And so, well, what is it? What's on the inside? That's very, very important. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Thank God. I like to see good-looking people, well-dressed people, well-looked-after people, healthy people, and so on. But when it comes right down to it, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins to give to every man according to his doings. What's it like on the inside? What's the heart like? Remember what it is like? Really? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ knows your heart and my heart. Right? Because there's nothing hid from the eye of him with whom we have to do. Nothing hid, whatever. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that here, that what's spoken of the ear in the closets will be proclaimed from the housetops. It's all going to be made known, shown out before. Why? We can cover up like the Pharisee and appear very upright and kind and generous, so on, but what about the heart? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is to appear that we're something that we're not after all. It's just a sham. It's just a sham. And, I think there's hypocrisy. So, don't worry about it. Just make sure that you're not trusting in yourself. They that trust in themselves are not wise. Your trust must be placed in another. And the other is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A while back, this past summer, I saw a fellow working. He was working, going by house with some literature. So I went out to the curb and had a talk with him. I gave him a question right away. I says, was Jesus Christ God? He says, no. I says, you're wrong. I says, your unbelief will take you down to hell. Now what think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme? You cannot be right on the rest unless you think rightly of him. Ah, friends, he's Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. All things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. So what think ye of Christ is the test tonight for you? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Whose son is he? Can you think of one thing that he said or did that would embarrass him? Sometimes we say something or do something and all of a sudden we're embarrassed. We shouldn't have did that. We shouldn't have said that. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he had no problem that way. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I was thinking of some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Think of the day when he had 4,000 or 5,000 people. He said, they've been with me 3 days. I don't want to send them away hungry. They'll faint by the way. What kind of a man's that? That's God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't send them away hungry. He says, set them down on 2 occasions. He fed 4,000 and 5,000 people with the two loaves and fishes. He fed them all. Why? You know why he did that? He said he had compassion on the people. That means that his heart was so touched that he wanted to do something that they essentially needed to exist. And he sat them down and he fed them. First the 5,000. Then the 4,000. On another occasion. Can you think of anyone that came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a sickness, a disease, or in any need at all? Then he said, just go away. Don't bother me. No. He never did that. Why? The dumb could speak. Why? The deaf could hear. And the blind could see. He never turned anyone away. Why? The religious people one day thought, here's one for them. Here's one. John chapter 8. He took this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Moses in the law said such should be slain. What do you say? Why, he said to the woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Right. You see, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He forgave the woman her sin and sent her on her way a different person. As you get in John chapter 3, he must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't stumble over that too long. Born again means to be born from above. We date back to Adam here tonight, from the dust of the ground, first birth. Our second birth is a new birth, receiving Christ that came out from heaven. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you trusted Jesus and his saving power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, tonight, consider well. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. What shall your answer be? Yes, Bartimaeus was a blind man. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee, that I might receive my sight? Well, he went on his way rejoicing. He was no longer blind. He wasn't in darkness anymore. He was in the light. What about you tonight? What will you do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? I remember it kindly that hypocrites is a subject. It's not very nice to talk about. It's in a sense, hypocrisy. But nevertheless, it's in the Word of God. It's there. But you don't need to be a hypocrite. You can be as genuine as ever could be. Just take the book and find out what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? You can't be neutral. You either believe or you don't believe. What about it tonight? Okay. Yeah. Now, we have here another warning here. That's the forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him that after he is killed, the power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. Well, the fear of man, that brings a snare. But the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and is to depart from evil. It brings in a whole new life, fearing God. So, what about fearing God? Jesus says, and he's talking to his disciples, he says, fear the one that is able to, after he's destroyed the body, he's able to cast into hell. Now you say, well, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't change anything. If you read here, it says hell. Chapter 13 will tell you more about hell. Chapter 16 will tell you more about hell. And all comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, friend. And never man spake like this man. He spoke with authority. And then they went over that and see, what about eternal punishment? I am glad that I knew from a boy about hell and eternal punishment. Here it is. We lived there in Kenora, Ontario, and our bedroom was up on the second floor, and it's up on a rise there in the yard. Every night we'd automatically be faced with that window. And we would look out that window. We'd see the big burner at the end, at the foot of the big paper mill. Huge round burner. And it went away up into the sky, black as could be. Every night they lit the fire in that. Every night. The flames would go up and shoot through the top of that thing, burn up the refuse from the logs. And you could look at that night after night. And it was like listening to a preacher preaching about hell. Because we believed in hell. And we could just imagine people consciously existing in that great big tunnel, as it were, up into the sky. And it'll never end. It'll never end. And the fire goes on, and it'll never end. And away it goes. And every night we'd be so upset to think about hell and drop off to sleep. I'm so thankful, oh friends, that I learned from very early in life what the Bible says about hell is true. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, friends? It's the gospel preacher that warned you. Warn them for me. Warn them for me. Yes, friends. Beware lest he take thee with a stroke, and a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Tonight, maybe thy latest breath, thy little moment, here be gone. How will it be with you tonight if you're to pass off this scene? Yeah, fear him after it destroyed the body. He is able to cast into hell. Do you know that hell was never prepared for human beings? Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. People go to hell in spite of being loved by God. They go there because of their own choice. Yeah. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. Power of God. People go to hell because they choose to. And they make the choice. They'd rather die than come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd rather do anything than trust Him as their own personal Savior. But friends, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, friends, you must get to the Father. But you won't get there climbing up some other way. You'll just be like a thief and a robber. Getting there is to come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He's told us the way. Come believing. Come to Jesus. Look, and thou shalt live. Why do you linger? When Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. Friends, oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. As thinking about the compassion the Lord Jesus Christ had towards those crowds of people. And He did have crowds of people. What I read here tonight in the first part of chapter 12, likely the largest crowd that he ever had at one time is right there. Multitudes, thousands. Friends, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And all that believe are justified from all things by which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh, tonight, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I like reading the scriptures, of course, but the thing that's in me is the kindness of God. The kindness of God. I'd love to use that as a subject, but it's too late now. But just think of the kindness of God. Just think of the kindness of, well, just think of what the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave the man his sight. He gave him speech. He gave him his hearing. He had compassion on a widow woman that had no means of support because she's going to bury her son that just died, a widow woman. That speaks of weakness and poverty. And the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion. His heart, his whole feeling went out for that woman like they never saw her before. But all of a sudden he's captivated by this widow woman. Compassion. And he just gives the woman back her son. Raises the boy from the dead. Is that the kindness of God? Kindness of God. Think it over and over again. Mephibosheth in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 9, he says, what? You show me the kindness of God. A dead dog that I am. I'm of nothing, no account, whatever. But you've shown me the kindness of God. Friends, what do you hear about God week in and week out? You know, over the years, I can just think back. Cursed. His name was taken, cursing. Here's this man, he takes the name of Christ in vain. He takes the name of the Lord Jesus and curses it that way. And he curses God that way. And that way. And yet, just a minute. Did you know what you're saying? Do you really mean that? Do you know that? God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. My friends, if you knew Christ as your Savior, you wouldn't be taking his name, cursing and swearing, using his name. If you were on your way to heaven tonight, you wouldn't be using language like that. I'll tell you what. You can't get rid of it, you say. I can't change now. Listen, friends, don't you worry about changing. You do what the Bible says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Remember, it's not what you do. It's not what you've learned. It's what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you do with the Savior of sinners? Yeah, fear him. He's able to cast into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. But you can be in heaven, friend. You can be just as certain of it as anything else. Take God at his word. God in his word said that Christ on the tree died for a guilty sinner, and salvation is free. Hear the word, sinner. Free, free, free. Why not believe it? This is good news for thee. Yes. Oh, tonight, someone had only take in the message. One night, a lad was in the meeting, over 18, 19 years old. He wasn't doing that well in life, but he was at the meeting. And I got where he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And I also got the word as well. What impressed him about the meeting was, the message was the kindness of God. If I could only preach that message again about the kindness of God. A lot of people in life show me kindness. Many, many people all over, they show me kindness. And I just said, so thankful for showing me something of the kindness of God. But friends, Think of the kindness of God. For God so loved the world, the wicked world, put Christ to death on the cross, curse his name day in and day out, yet for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what everlasting life is? The moment you trust Christ, you have it. You have it. It's not only is it an unending life, but it's a far better quality of life. People really have a poor quality of life. 32 million people are committing suicide. Many, many more wanting to do the same thing. Why? The quality of their life is empty. It's useless. It's worthless. Trust Christ as your Savior, friend. Just take the book and read it for yourself. Nobody needs to talk you into anything. What you need is just to read the book, the Bible. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, that you might tonight consider your latter end. One time, we didn't go to many shows growing up. It's only 12 cents to get in, but we didn't go very often. My mother didn't want us to go to shows. I remember one day I did go to a show. I was standing in line, a man by the name of Mr. Harrison. He was a preacher at the mission. He came down from his apartment. Right there I was standing there. Was I embarrassed? I'm going into the show. Mr. Harrison has seen me. Oh. Anyway, I went in. And I sat in that dark theater, watched the picture. I saw a man in the picture. He was working away shoveling, right, coal. And it was hot, and he was perspiring, and he seemed to be in the heat, and no way of getting away from this desperate place where he was. Man, that reminds me of hell. That must be what hell is like. Heat all the time, and work all the time, and there's no rest. And darkness all over the place. I can't stand it. Wow. I got up. I left the theater. I couldn't take any more of it. And I wandered on in my darkness. Not a ray of light could I see. No, but to find out that Christ is the Savior of sinners, all I needed to do was trust him. My mother said, well, she got saved through John chapter 1 and verse 15, verse 12. What's that say? It says that the Lord Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. She came from a large family of eight. Nobody in the family was interested in Bible or verses or anything else like that. But she got interested because of a lady who was going to the mission meeting and says, come with me, Mary, come with me, Mary. She went and heard the gospel and just entered while there's room. Receive Christ. Why not tonight? Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, we're thankful.